From our nation's capital, this is D.C. Public Safety. I'm your host, Leonard Sipes. Today's program is going to be on women offenders, and we have two people who are true experts on the subject of women offenders. We have Ashley McSwain. She is the executive director of Our Place D.C., www.ourplacedc.org, one of the most comprehensive, if not the most comprehensive, women's reentry program in the United States of America. We also have Dr. Willa Butler. Dr. Butler has been before our microphones before. She is in charge of women's groups for my agency, the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. We are a federal parole and probation agency here in the District of Columbia. Before starting the show, what I want to do is to do something rather unusual, and that is to promote two events. We generally do evergreen radio shows where we don't really tag events or tie events to the radio shows, but these are important coming up. February 5th on a Saturday in Washington, D.C., we have the Women's Reentry Forum, which is one of the reasons why we're doing a radio show on women offenders. At the Temple of Praise, 700 Southern Avenue Southeast, from 8 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, February 5th, this Saturday, Women's Reentry Forum at the Temple of Praise Church, 700 Southern Avenue Southeast, from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Come out and join us if you like. Also, the Citywide Reentry Assembly, which is something my organization does every year, where we bring those people involved in faith-based mentoring, the successful mentors and their mentees, together for a celebration of the hundreds of offenders who have been through the mentoring program. That is at the St. Luke's Center, 4923 East Capitol Street Southeast, from 6:30 in the evening to 9 o'clock. Come out on out and join us for a wonderful evening, exciting evening. It is something that you have to really experience. Again, the Citywide Reentry Assembly at Thursday, February 10th, from 6:30 to 9 o'clock in the evening. And before bringing the ladies on to the radio program, what I want to do is to go over some statistics in terms of women offenders, and these I find startling. Number one, if you take a look at male and female offenders involved in state and federal prison systems, the percentage growth for women is stronger than it is for men. So more women are coming into the prison system in terms of a percentage basis than male offenders. And we need to talk on the radio program about that a little bit today. But if you look at other federal research, whether it's HIV, whether it's mental health, whether it's physical or sexual abuse, whether it's drug use, whether it's family violence, it is startling as to the difference between men caught up in the criminal justice system and women caught up in the criminal justice system. Women seem to have higher percentages of HIV, mental health, astoundingly higher percentages of sexual abuse. There's a big difference in terms of male and female offenders. That's one of the things that we want to talk about on the radio show today. And also, in terms of physical or sexual violence, nearly 6 in 10 women in state prisons had experienced physical or sexual abuse in the past. 6 in 10 women. And 7 out of 10 women involved in the correctional systems have minor children. So, well, I've laid out the stats. I've laid out the upcoming events that are coming out. And now, to get back to our true experts on this topic, Ashley McSwain and Dr. Willa Butler. And to Ashley and to Willa, welcome to D.C. Public Safety.
Great. Thanks.
Hello.
All right, Willa, I'm going to start out with you. Now, the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency, our agency, we have a different focus now on women offenders. We've decided to reorganize how this agency approaches women offenders. Can you tell me a little bit about that and why we're doing it?
Yes, I'm excited about it, too. What we've done, we've gone gender-specific. We have three teams now under the mental health branch, two mental health teams, and one general supervision team that only supervise female offenders. And the purpose of going gender-specific is to answer the needs that women have. We say women are needy, but it's not so much that they're needy, it's just that their needs have not been met. And over the years, the traditional counseling or any type of counseling or therapy, even treatment or supervision, has been geared toward the male dominated group, which was not feasible for our female offender population. And now at this day and time, which is good that we are able to answer that. And it's 17 critical success, critical factors or vulnerabilities that hinders women or barriers when it comes to supervision and their type of growth. And in these our groups that we have WICA, Women in Control Again, which are psychoeducational groups to address the needs of the women, and they address the mental health needs and the substance abuse needs and any other type of need that they may have, because women come with a multifaceted of things that are of concern. And that's what we're doing today. We're addressing these needs, and one of them, the main thing, is their pathways to crime. How did they get into this situation? One thing we've learned, how to have an understanding of, we have an understanding of how they got there. Now we need to move and have an understanding of how to get them out of that situation. And that's what we're working on today by having a gender-responsive program.
The organization is reorganizing. CSOSA, the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency, we're reorganizing. Reorganizing around this issue of women offenders. So is it to play catch-up with the services in the past that have been given more to males in the criminal justice system? Is it the matter of catching up, or is it the matter that there seem to be more women coming into the incarcerative setting, more women on a percentage basis? Not, there's a huge difference between the sheer numbers of men and women going to the prison system. I don't want to mislead the audience. By and large numbers, it's predominantly male offenders going into the correctional settings, but the percentage of female offenders is rising. So is it that? Is it playing catch-up? Is that one of the reasons why we're going through this big reorganization?
Actually, it's both, Leonard. We're playing catch-up, not only playing catch-up, but we are designing a program to address their needs. And when we say playing catch-up, because women have always been in the criminal justice system, far back as the 17th and 18th century, but they've never been treated fairly. They've been put in dungeons, cast away. They've even been put in insane asylums. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do with them. It's not like we don't know, but it's like they just fail to address this. It's like we were always looked on as being insignificant, overlooked, not recognizable. And even today, because I'm talking about since 17th, 18th century, even today, you look at how women are put in the federal institutions, and they wear men's clothes. Nothing is geared towards them. It's just generic.
I'm sorry. That's right.
And but now we're trying to respond to what the women need. And like
I also think there's a social stigma component that has.
This is Ashley McSwain, the executive director of Our Place DC.
So, you know, there is a lot of shift towards women, but a lot of what plagued women offenders has been this stigma that comes with just being female, which suggests that women shouldn't get into these kinds of troubles. And so we're not providing the kind of services and supports because, you know, they really, you know, they're not the population that behaves this way. And so it makes it very difficult to go to ask for funding when, you know, society doesn't think that, you know, there's a problem.
Now, I do want to reintroduce Ashley McSwain. She's the executive director of Our Place DC, www.ourplacedc.org. And I do want to say that Our Place is one of the most, if not the most, comprehensive reentry program in the United States of America for women offenders coming out of the prison system. This is a one-stop shop. They go into the prisons way before the offender comes out of the prison system. They make their initial contacts in prison. They extend the invitations. They will take this individual. They will provide housing. They will provide clothing. They will provide food. You have to come in and work with them and obey the rules, needless to say, but they work with the individuals piece by piece by piece, rebuild them as human beings, if you will, and then get them ready to go ahead for the reentry program. Part of it, successful reentry. Ashley, your program is just amazingly comprehensive.
Yes, it is.
You know, how did, you know, I understand why you do it that way, but, you know, the criminal justice system is made up of a housing piece here and a drug or a substance abuse piece there and a legal part of it to get legal assistance over there. You've got everything in, under your roof.
Well, when you approach it as a female issue or a gender-specific issue, then all of those different components have to fit within the needs of the female offender.
Right.
And so that's what our place has done. And so we recognize that, you know, there are other organizations that are providing legal support, but a lot of them don't understand the experience of being a woman and being in the criminal justice system and all of the myriad of obligations that they have to meet in the same way that our place does. And so that's the reason why the services are so comprehensive. So when a woman is still in custody, we can begin to provide her with some guidance and support.
You know, now that we've done the introductions and we've given a sense as to what both organizations are doing here in the District of Columbia, let's get into a larger discussion of women offenders. They come out, 7 out of 10, according to national statistics, come out, they have children in the community. The males don't. Now, that alone is just such an incredibly big bridge to cross. Not only do you have to deal with your own substance abuse, not only have to deal with your own issues, and a lot of these individuals have histories of being abused as children.
Yes.
A lot of them have histories of sexual abuse, flat-out sexual abuse from young ages, much higher than the percentages than males. The rate of substance abuse is higher. The rate of mental health problems is higher. Then they come out, and then they have to reunite with their own children. That, to me, is almost impossible.
Yeah.
Considering the problems that we have with male offenders, and we say 50% go back to prison in 3 years. That's a national statistic. 50% don't, by the way, but 50% do. So if that's 50% are going back to the prison system, male offenders and female offenders together, throw on the obligation of taking care of your kids seems to be almost insurmountable, especially in Washington, D.C.'s economy. Any who wants to take a crack at that?
Oh, well, let me get back, address the reuniting with the children situation.
And this is Dr. Willa Butler.
Yeah, that is one thing of concern, because when they come out, and the main thing is their focus is trying to be reunited with their children. And the hard part is that sometimes the children have been adopted or they're in foster care. They're going through the process of trying to get their children back. And in some instances that they really can't get them back because of what they've gone through while they've been away,
right?
While they're incarcerated.
Somebody else has been mom and dad while they're away.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, they haven't really come into contact, direct contact with their children for years.
Right, years. And some of them don't know their children.
That's right.
In a sense, and it's kind of hard. And when we talk about the different programs and being integrated, which makes it even better for the women to come out and try to work together and not only getting their kids back, but also getting themselves back together again, when you talk about an integrated treatment modality,
mm-hmm.
which is feasible for addressing all of their concerns.
But again, you go back to my larger question, mm-hmm. and that is that it's very difficult for male individuals to come out of the prison system and find work,
mm-hmm.
Even if their criminality is behind them. And we have people on our caseload, by the way, that have been, it's been years since their last positive drug test. It's been years since their crime. So they're pretty much adhering to the rules, yet they still can't find work.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a woman offender coming out with the same set of circumstances, although she's got kids to raise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a certain point where you can pile up so many obstacles to the point where for women offenders, it sometimes seems impossible for them to cross the bridge. Ashley?
Well, when you start thinking about the fact that this is the experience of female offenders, and you start looking at taking a gender-specific approach, those are the things that you factor and consider.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the women have not only their own issues to deal with, but they have the issues that come with having children.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we acknowledge that that's a part of their reentry process, then we can provide the kind of supports that they need to move forward. Prior to this dialogue, you know, people didn't acknowledge that women coming home also had to now deal with the responsibility of taking care of their children. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, this is a great conversation to have to begin to think about what are the interventions that are necessary to ensure that a woman does not recidivate or that she does not fail.
And the other part of it, and I have to close in a couple seconds to reintroduce you, not close, but to reintroduce the two of you before you go on with the rest of the program, is that most of the individuals, because of that history of being abused and neglected, really pushed around, you come out, you have substance abuse issues. A lot of the women caught up in the criminal justice system have led very hard lives. They don't trust anybody. They don't trust me. They don't trust either one of you. And yet, both of you put women in groups and begin to break through those barriers. That, my guess is that out of everything we're going to talk about, that mistrust of the system, and both of you are in one way, shape, or form part of the criminal justice system, breaking through that barrier is the hardest part. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, one of the things we try to do at our place is create a sense of community for the women. I mean, it's called Our Place for a reason, mm-hmm. you know, so that the women can get some support mm-hmm. from each other, you mm-hmm. know, and some hope for some differences or some changes.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what the women are seeking.
All right. Go ahead, Willis.
I'm sort of piggyback on your name, Our Place, and that's kind of our perspective in what we did when we put all the women in one building, and yeah. and it's like Our Place now. This is your home, and we're here for you,
good.
And we try to present empathy and
right.
mutual respect and develop a type of rapport, and that relaxes them. And
yeah, but we can still put them back in prison.
It's
empathy, it's rapport, but at what point?
A little different. Right now, we're going with trying to be firm, holding them accountable, and being firm as well, but also less confrontational. In other words, we're trying to work with
them. I understand. I'm just pulling your chain.
You know, work with them and let them know that they can really do this. We're moving more into motivating them for change and working on their residualism and bringing it out of them
yeah.
because it's in them. And they just never had anybody to bring it out of them. And that's what we're doing today, that's bringing something out of you that's already there. You know.
I want to reintroduce both of our guests, Ashley McSwain. She is the executive director of Our Place DC, www.ourplacedc.org. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody out there has got some money. Somebody out there has got some deep pockets. And if you're ever looking for an organization that desperately needs financial assistance and an organization that produces incredibly good results, reuniting mothers with their kids, taking care of the kids, taking care of the moms becoming tax payers instead of tax burdens, this is the place where you need to devote a buck or two. Our Place DC, www.ourplacedc.org. Also, in front of our microphones, Dr. Willa Butler, who's funded by the federal government, as I am, so we don't need your money. Give it to Our Place. She's in charge of women's groups for my organization, Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency, www.csosa.gov. All right, ladies, back to the second half of the program. Okay, so you finally break through that barrier that woman gives you, and sometimes hard as nails barrier, and you finally break through, and the woman comes into either one of your groups and sees that the other women are being taken care of, and she opens up a little bit. Once she opens up, she's going to get involved in a history that would scare the bejeebies out of most human beings. And then you start getting into the psyche of the background of the individual, why they got involved in drugs, why they got involved in crime, why their behavior is so self-destructive. And once you've crossed that bridge, you have just wandered into an incredibly difficult arena. That all the problems that those individuals bring to the table in terms of their background. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, but the objective is to really break it down into smaller pieces, because it can be very insurmountable when you start thinking about all of the life experiences that brought her to the moment that she's there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I wouldn't recommend that we approach it from this broad, you know, place. Excuse me. Right now, we really deal with what the woman needs at the moment that she's there with us, and then we build from there. And we often find that the women come in for one thing, but through our dialogue and conversation, she begins to identify that there are other needs and that there are other areas of support that could assist her as she moves forward.
Right. She comes to our place for legal assistance and maybe a place to stay for a while, and suddenly she gets involved with the other groups.
That's right.
And the process begins.
That's exactly right. Oftentimes they're coming for employment, and there's just some underlying legal stuff that has to be addressed, and that she doesn't have any clothing. And, I mean, so there are some very foundational things that she needs. And a lot of times the women we see, they don't know how to ask for what it is that they want. You know, they, you know, think that it's safe to ask for a birth certificate, but there are so many other things that they really need that they don't feel, you know, that they can ask for. But given the right setting, you know, they'll begin to explore a little more about what it is that they really need.
And that becomes a key issue, Ashley, the right setting, because a lot of people, and when I respond to emails and comments on these programs, a lot of people are saying to themselves, look, for the love of good God, Mr. Sipes, these are criminals. You know, what is it about the right setting? I just want you to protect me. That's your job. Protect me, protect me, protect me. You know, what is this about the right setting? But one of the things that the research and our own experience has pointed out pretty clearly, that if you put a human being in the right setting where you hold them accountable for their actions, I mean, public safety is CISOS's top priority. Mm-hmm. Protecting the public is CISOS's top priority. But if you're going to break through those barriers that he or she brings to us and work on the reasons why they've spent the last 10 years in a bottle, or why they spent the last 10 years snorting, or why they spent the last 10 years with a needle in their arm, they have to be in the right setting.
Right.
We got to create an environment where they're comfortable enough to talk about who they are and what they are.
Yeah, the research talks about women make changes through relationships. And so, I mean, as abstract as that might seem, you have to build relationships with women in order to build trust and in order for them to become accountable for the choices that they've made. Mm-hmm. And that's our objective, is to help people become aware of who they are and how their choices have affected their past and how their choices will affect their future.
And the bottom line of all that, Ashley, is that it protects public safety. If the woman is dealing with her substance abuse, dealing with her own history, she's going out and getting a job, she's reuniting with her kids, that makes her 1,000 times less likely to go out and re-engage in criminal activity, which protects you and me and everybody else. So we talk about, you know, the right setting, the comfortable setting, but the flip side of that is what we're talking about is public safety.
That's right, and it's everybody's job to provide this level of support. I mean, these women are your mothers and your sisters and your cousins, and, you know, you certainly want to make sure they have the supports they need so that they can be productive and we all can move forward.
Right. And we as taxpayers don't have to constantly shell money out. If they're off of drugs and they've got their kids and the kids are taken care of and they're working, that's exactly what everybody wants.
Yeah.
So, but it's the right setting that gets us there. And the public needs to understand that. It can't all be hard on the offender, hard on the offender. There's got to be a balance, Willa. Yeah. And when I, you know, I talk to the different people involved in your group and Marcia's group, you know, they praise you and Marcia, and they praise the group process because for the first time in their lives, they're dealing with issues that have bedeviled them for their entire lives. For the first time, they're actually talking about who they are, and what they need to do to kick drugs, kick mental health issues, reunite with their kids, get a job. And it's that group process that really does seem to bring all that out.
Yeah, during our group process, first of all, we start off with the question, who am I? They have to identify with who they are first. They might, whatever they were, a drug addict, an offender, an ex-offender. Right now, this is who I am. But now I'm working on some things. And a lot of times when women in group, a lot of things they've never talked about before.
Right.
And they repress their feelings. They repress everything that has happened to them. And then it comes out in group. And we start talking about it. And then we start being able to not only to talk about it, but to get them help help, yeah, to get them treatment. And we talk about a lot of our women are mental health.
Yes.
They have co-occurring disorders. They have substance abuse disorders. They have mental health disorders. And we try to put them in a place where we can treat both of that. Not only that, they suffer from, like I say, victimization. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have never talked about the process, the part that they've been raped before. I've been molested a few times. I've been raped a couple of times.
Or a lot of times.
Or a lot of times. And all of this comes out, but yet we're still able to give them the help and the resources that they need.
Now, my favorite story about women offenders, and the real eye opener to me was when I was the director of public relations for the Maryland Department of Public Safety, which was law enforcement and corrections, and we're training public affairs officers at a women's minimum security prison because they had a culinary arts program and we could feed the different people who came for training. Mm-hmm. So I've got people training and I didn't have anything to do for 2 hours. So I go out in the courtyard and I light up my cigar, and during those days where you could actually have a cigar in prison. And all the women who started coming out to the courtyard to have their cigarettes, and they know me because I was in the media a lot, and they sat down and started talking with me, and there was a 2-hour session in that courtyard with those women offenders. And where they took me, it was like taking me to Mars and back, because they freely talked about their lives. And one person said, "Mr. Sipes, you know what? I don't want to go home. Mm-hmm. This is the first safe place I've ever been in my life, and I'm getting my GED, I'm getting my culinary arts certificate. Mm-hmm. I've never talked about my issues before, but now this is the first place I'm talking." Here's the human being who says, "I find prison to be safer than the real world."
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. You get 3 meals every day. Mm-hmm. You know where you're going to sleep. You know, it's unfortunate that...
You know you're not going to be abused.
Right, and that was what I was mm-hmm. going to say, because a lot of the abuse started from the home, you know. And when, like I said, when women leave prison, you think it should be a happy time. But it's like a rogue down perdition again, because there's mm-hmm. no change.
Yeah, you know? That's right.
And I'm going back to the same situation, a double-up situation. I don't have a place to stay. I don't know where my children are. And if they're there, somebody else is raising them.
And they don't fit in.
Right.
And, you know, we're actually doing some research on that. And one mm-hmm. of the things we're finding is that the women, while they're still in custody, they're very hopeful. And 3 months after they're in the community, that declines.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, you know, the options are so limited, and that feeling of empowerment that they felt so excited about is reduced when the reality of not having housing and options for employment, you know, they really set in. Mm-hmm. And so these women start out very hopeful.
And my guess is, and we're going to wrap the program up very quickly, so I need quick responses. My guess is, if Our Place DC did not exist, and, well, if your groups here at CSOSA did not exist, my guess is that there are going to be thousands, and I'm not exaggerating, thousands of women would have been went right back to crime, yep, right back to the criminal justice system, would have cost taxpayers tens or hundreds of millions of dollars. And the two of you together, mm-hmm. and Marcia and everybody else involved in this program, I mean, you've saved lives, and you've saved literally thousands of lives.
Yes, we do. Right now, Our Place is really encouraging women to be literate, educated, be curious, knowledge, reading. I mean, we think that that's also going to be part of their ability to be sustainable in the community.
All right. And I just want to make the offer. I'm going to come over and wax your car, walk your dog, do whatever you need if you get a check to Our Place DC, and because the program is that worthy. Our guest today, Ashley McSwain, Executive Director of Our Place DC, www.ourplacedc.org, www.ourplacedc.org. Dr. Willa Butler, in charge of women's groups here at CSOSA, www.csosa.gov. I do want to remind everybody about the upcoming events that we have on Saturday, February 5th. We have the Women's Reentry Forum, Temple of Praise, 700 Southern Avenue, Southeast, from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. It'll be on our website, www.csosa.gov. And also on February February 10th, a Thursday, the Citywide Reentry Assembly at St. Luke's Church at 4923 East Capitol Street from 6:30 in the evening to 9:30 in the evening to talk about successful mentors and mentees involved in our faith-based program. Ladies and gentlemen, this is DC Public Safety. I'm your host, Leonard Sipes. Watch for us or listen for us next time when we explore another very important topic in the criminal justice system. I want everybody to have themselves a very, very pleasant day.